Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I don't know how much attention you pay to the preseason standings, but
zero.
Congratulations. Everybody has won a game. Nobody will go into the regular season without having won a preseason game. So I feel good for people like Utah.
You feel good?
Yeah. That's a lot of pressure.
You know,
to carry.
I know you've been poring over those Central Division standings of the preseason.
Well, Colorado and Dallas are off to fantastic starts. How about Pittsburgh at 4-1-1?
Kyle will take that any time.
Yes, they will.
And that wasn't even the best news of the preseason for Pittsburgh.
No,
the best news had to be Saturday night, right?
Yes.
It had to be last Saturday night with Marc-Andre Fleury.
Okay, I've actually read reports that there's a possibility that he would consider playing this year.
Really?
Is he ever going to go away?
Well, why would he go away? If somebody's in desperate need in February, you know, do you sign him?
Would you sign him? Or do you think somebody will take a look at signing him? That's a better question.
I don't know. I mean, if that's the case, he better stay in shape. That's the other part of it, right? He better stay in shape. You know, and you're going to wonder between now and, you know, whatever date, whether it's the 1st of December, 1st of January, if he'll go back on the ice at all. That's always the story when you talk to retired players. When was the last time you put your equipment on? Last game I played.
This feels different.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put it out of reach that he, feeling good right now, but he was beat up at the end of last season, but his body feels great. Mentally, he feels great. If he starts going, maybe put a couple of feelers out there.
Don't start those kind of rumors. You're starting to start those rumors.
I'm picking up on what other people are saying. I don't think he's ever going to go away.
Well, if that's all he's doing is delaying his Hall of Fame induction a year.
Well, and here's the other thing. I know a few guys that went to the big retirement party in Montreal this summer.
Yeah.
And they're saying he better damn well have another party if he comes back and plays.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, how many retirement parties can you have?
I'm hoping to have one.
Well, usually in our business, we don't have a choice. They tell you when you're done, not choosing when you're done.
You don't retire. You just want to spend more time with your family.
No.
That's what we do.
You don't retire. They just tell you you're finished.
Yeah. We've got a couple of coach contract extensions. Let's save that for after because Ron Hainsey's ready to go. The assistant executive director of the NHLPA. There's a few things to get to. One, the dress code. We got to get to the bottom of the dress code inside this new CBA. And the 84-game schedule, how that is going to jam things up is, and how they're going to deal with it from a player perspective is something that I'd love to get an idea of.
Well, you know, and you know, they're rolling out portions of the collective bargaining agreement, the new one already. And so you do wonder.
Yeah, unusual because it's done so soon, early that they're able to implement some things right now.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out exactly what's going on. And I tell you what, I've had a ton of respect for Ron for a long period of time. Got to know him during that time we were in New York so much, 13 years ago, Darren. during the, you know, the when we were playing stickball on Sixth Avenue.
Oh yeah, during the stretch drive negotiations.
Yeah, and Ron and Shane Doan were always around, so you got a chance to talk to them, and I got to know Ron a little bit there, and it's I've always had a lot of time for him. He's an impressive guy.
I've got a different Ron story for you, but okay. I'll save it till after. I won't embarrass him with it, but it is very funny. Ron Haynes is coming up 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Pumped him up. Let's welcome him in. Here's Ron Hainsey, Executive Director, Assistant Executive Director of the NHLPA. Do you think of yourself as a hockey player, or do you think of yourself as an executive? What are you?
Hockey player. I know I don't play hockey anymore, but the executive thing gets a little, I go, who are they talking about? And, you know, especially in Toronto at a golf tournament, or, you know, in the summer, I'll head up there for the bulk of July and spend time in the office and then play a lot of our guys, you know, charity events or Adam Graves, you know, Smile Zone event, which is a great one. And so, you know, sometimes say a few words and they'll use the executive line. They'll take a moment for me.
I don't know. I don't know, Ron. I see you with those pictures, you and Marty and Gary and Bill. You look like you fit like a glove in that group, you know?
Well, you said it. I didn't, but I imagine how it looks up there. But yeah, so still the hockey player thing, although I'm well aware I've not played in 5.5 years, so that ship has long sailed.
Got to ask you.
Go ahead, John.
And I got to ask you, the negotiations with this CBA – they appeared to go seamlessly. There appears to be such harmony. That was at least from the outside. Was it the same on the inside?
I don't know if I'd put a word on it. I think when both sides express an interest in getting a deal done well in advance of any deadline, you're already in a different place than maybe you've been previously, right? In previous negotiations. I think, you know, me, Marty, Gary, and Bill had a conversation, you know, a year before we began. I think it was in Boston. We were both in town for some business meetings to sort of lay the groundwork. We still had a lot of work to do with the players, just the way things had worked out with Marty taking over at the top of 2023 as executive director. You know, he tries to go out and see as many players as possible from March 15th to April 15th. But as we get closer to the playoffs, it's time to leave those guys alone and let them do their business. So it was maybe an informal 15, 20 minutes if we were lucky at dinner. And so the fall of 23 was really Marty's first opportunity. And we went wherever we could go, even in August where guys were skating, to introduce himself to the players, lay out his vision to the players and all the rest of it. And so, you know, you weren't getting anywhere in bargaining prep, right? In 23, 24, it just wasn't going to happen. And so, you know, summer of 24, we had a conversation, the four of us, sort of an outline of what we may be both looking for. It was brief, but certain things were on the table, certain things were off. And that set up our conversations with the players of the fall of 25, right, which is another 2.5 months where Marty could really put his stamp on what he wanted to accomplish in this next round of bargaining and then get feedback from the players, right? And that's just it's a multi-month process when you have 32 teams and every team has a player rep and an alternate rep plus other players who would like to be involved in the process. We had expressed to Gary and Bill, we just wouldn't really be ready until the spring. And that's just with Four Nations in February, especially, you know, that was another week and a half. And so it's, you know, that process had to take place. At the same time, you know, Bill has shared with me many times, as you head into the playoffs, is not the ideal time for the league to be engaged in bargaining either. You know, there's just a lot going on at that time of year. And so post Four Nations, we really spent the next 6 weeks preparing, and then it's not a big secret now, we really spent all of April, all of May, and I guess most of June, because we didn't sign the MOU until the morning of the draft, which was at the end of June on that Friday. And so you know, 3 months, is that good? Is that bad? I mean, you continue to move along in the process. And we never hit that point where talks broke off. You know, we were able to continue over that time period.
One of the reasons I ask is I remember you being part of some of the acrimony that existed in previous discussions and in previous lockouts. And, you know, to this day, I think we're just all amazed that both sides can be this cordial.
Yeah. And look, you got to be fair. I mean, part of it is a function of what you're bargaining, right? I mean, 04, 05, I was a young player in the league, was just cutting my teeth, didn't have, you know, had been in some meetings leading up to 04, 05, but was on a yo-yo between the American League and the NHL. And so I know the history of it, but was not a part of that in any way. But you're talking about salary cap or no salary cap, right?
Right.
And with the potential of missing a year, which did happen, or a year and a half. And so that's a different battle than what we just went through, right? In 2012, you know, the league was looking to move revenue from 57% that the players got of HR to 50. And so you have a battle there on how you're going to get to that point. And it took as long as it took, and where we ended up. 2020 is its own negotiation based on COVID and everyone trying their best to get through an unprecedented scenario so that we all come out the other side, of which Gary and Don Fair deserve a ton of credit for, as they were able to do that and did it quicker than anybody probably would have anticipated. But, you know, that was really the focus of that negotiation. And so what were we focused on here, right? And we weren't talking about changing the 50-50. We weren't talking about guaranteed contracts. I think any of us who've been involved in the game for the last 20 years can paint a picture where you can get through that negotiation in a couple months and prioritize what's important to the players from Gary and Bill's side, what's important to them. And we were able to do that and continue, you know, onward over the course of 3 months and come to an agreement.
What were the top couple of topics or areas important to the players in the latest CBA?
You know, it's a wide variety. I mean, the big things going their way, obviously, are the removal of payroll taxes, workers' comp, a dramatic increase in the playoff fund, which is completely off share. There were smaller things within contracting that I'm sure you guys have seen, the increase in the minimum and some smaller things that, you know, the paper loans were, again, doesn't affect a lot of guys, but two players last year lost both $90,000 to $100,000 because they were on a constant yo-yo from the NHL to the American League. So the club could accrue cap space for whatever reason, the club, you know, who were bona fide NHL players. Things in there, the schedule, obviously going to 84 games, the shortening of the preseason, you don't have 100% agreement, right? You talk to the players and try to figure out the best path forward. By the time I was done with it, and that was a multi-year process really of talking to the guys and seeing where they were. Obviously there's a lot of advantages to go into what's essentially an 11-day training camp. It's 13 days, but the first day is a reporting day. And they'll get a day off in there, going to an 11-day camp with a max of 2 games for anybody who's played over 100 NHL games, and then getting right into it. That offsets, you know, the 84 games, the mm-hmm. extra 2 games. You go there, we'll hopefully have a little more space in the schedule. Physically, you know, there's going to be injuries in this game if there's 55 games or 84 games. We've seen it already in preseason, broken bones, and, you know, you got a frozen rubber disc flying around out there at 100 miles an hour. Bad stuff's going to happen. We all know that. I'm just as concerned about our guys mentally over the course of the season, and when they see that schedule and just getting up and down, travel and back to backs. Physically, I feel they're all more than capable of playing 20 minutes for 84. You know, we see them play 115 games, depending on, or 110 games, depending on how long their playoff runs go. We have plenty of players who go to the World Championships and play more games, you know, up to 10 or 11. The mental piece of this is what I was really concerned about. So that was something to juggle. Obviously, the players got more in order to go to 84 games with the shorter camp and the elimination of fitness testing and some other things to assist with their travel. So those are some of the big ones. I'm sure I'm forgetting it. I don't have a list in front of me of other areas that were identified, but having those things come off the player's share, you know, on a going forward basis, were identified early and extremely important.
You forgot the dress code. Come on, Ron, the dress code. I've had more people talk about the dress code than anything else.
Well, John, there you go. You nailed it. I figured since everyone, you know, when the MOU came out, read dress code, and that was the focus of like 96% of the articles that went out there, that I don't need to talk about it anymore. Get on your plane, you know, the plane afterwards, and you're getting a little response, and you know, our PR team will send us what's out there, and you're kind of exhausted and don't care. And after 48 hours, I think I've got, just from friends out there at some point, you know, 55 text messages about the dress code, and you know, zero about anything of it, you know, any importance, as far as not any importance, but you know, maybe more important things within the agreement. So I didn't feel I needed to touch on it, but that certainly has got plenty of play.
Wow.
For whatever reason. And it's continued even through the preseason I don't get it, is why it's such a concern out there, but I guess.
But if you were playing, you'd wear a suit to the game, wouldn't you still?
I would not. I 100% would not. I guess I could envision a time, but I would love to roll out of bed and just throw a pair of jeans and whatever top on is appropriate for the weather and get myself down to the building, at the time and get ready. In Toronto, just because of traffic and the way the city was, occasionally I would stay downtown if you knew it could be. I lived in Etobicoke, which is obviously not very far, but depending on traffic, could take you an hour plus if you hit it at the wrong time. And so I changed my nap schedule and everything when I was in Toronto at home, just to roll out of bed at 3, throw something on, and shoot down to the arena, you know, as quick as possible. And I'd be there and go, you know, have my snack there and everything else. So I rolled out of bed and put a suit on. Those were the rules. That was the deal, you know, and whatever. I mean, I put a tie around my neck. I would get there early enough that I never tied it. You know what I mean? The camera wasn't even set for me to walk in. So I wore it like Berkey used to wear it. I mean, I just never, you know, I could have been wearing a bathing suit and flip flops for the entirety of 2 years. I don't think anybody would have known when I went to a home game. And then same thing getting out of there. You know, if you want to go and, you know, have a beer or meet some friends for dinner, you know, it's, and you're coming off of a hockey game. You just took a hot shower, you put a suit on, you end up sweating through the thing before you get, you've been in the parking lot at Scotiabank. I mean, sure. it's a sauna down there, and you get in the car, you're going to PC. So anyway, look, the guys have the option to wear what they want to wear. If they want to still wear a suit, they can still wear a suit, right? I mean, we're not taking anybody's ability to wear a suit. I'm sure plenty of guys will wear suits that maybe are the same they always wore, flashier, whatever. What we've done is, and what the players have asked for, which is give them the ability to wear some different things. You know, on the plane, they don't have to worry about wearing a suit. I mean, this was always one of the great ones in my career. You get on the plane for a 5-hour flight to LA, and the club makes you wear a suit and tie to it, of which you see the same person at the FBO that you've always seen. You get on it, you take the entire suit off, hang it up, put it up. It gets ruined in the carry-on or whatever. You know, some clubs have better planes where you can hang them. 5.5 hours later, everybody's hair is mangled, you know, but they put a suit and tie on, so they look great as they roll through the lobby at whatever hotel you got to, right? And then take it off again. It's just one of these things that it was how it was, but it won't be that way going forward.
What's the baseline for it? You said jeans.
The language is pretty simple. The players will be required to dress in a manner consistent with contemporary fashion norms. Now, Darren, I don't know what that means. I assume you don't know what that means.
Nope.
I feel it gives the guys, I didn't come up with that line.
That sounds like a lawyer to me, Ron.
You know, well, that's a correct guess. and so that gives the players, I think, more than enough freedom to go and do what they want to do, right?
So the other one that I don't think gets enough play is the increased playoff pool. The money, that really, in many ways, you know, we used to always joke that, hey, they get paid for the regular season and pay for free, and play for free for 2 months. But this is a little closer to not being the case now, correct?
Yeah, it's a significant increase, right? The pool's going from 24 million to 40 over the course of the agreement. It does go up, you know, from 34 to 40 over the 4 years. And, you know, so it essentially doubles, not quite, but
no.
You know, what the guys were getting, you know, they were getting paid, but, you know, compared to what 2.5, you know, by the time they're done, if you go to the finals, it's 3 months. Now you could say, you know, some people go month to month with their league, you know, some people own homes. It's different for everybody. And you know, it nobody's going to cry for the guys, but over the course of a 7-game series in, you know, whatever city, you know, tickets are $1,500 a pop and you got 15 people who want to come, you do the math pretty quick. This can turn into a losing money proposition pretty quick for the guys, depending on where their salaries are. And that's just part of it. The other part of it is our guys, I truly believe our playoffs are as much of a grind, but as great of a show as there is. And the players deserve to be compensated over those two and a half months, right? It's not easy. And so, look, it was something that the players felt strongly about. If you looked at the other sports and where their playoff pools were, we were lagging behind it. And so we were pleased to be able to address it here.
Let's pause here, take a break, and we'll be back with Ron Hainsey on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shanna. Stay with us.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Tell you what, one of the more fascinating areas was the elimination of fitness testing. And what's the impetus of that? And where did it, what was the driver?
Well, that started as more of an issue 13 years ago, around 2012, when we just had a number of clubs that were doing things that had no bearing on how the player would be able to perform the following season. They were inventing tests that, you know, there was one where, you know, there was a torture chamber, right? And so if there was, we had pushed for years for a standardized testing format across all 32 clubs. Everyone did, you know, you could pick the number. Let's say it's 5, just for the sake of this argument. And everybody does the same 5 tests. And then when you move club to club, the clubs would have that baseline to be able to look at and see where you were at. I mean, it seems to make too much sense. And over the course of more than a decade, the pushback and the refusal to improve what was just a flawed process. And depending on the year, right, you have a club saying, oh, well, we're really going to hammer the guys this year because we missed the playoffs. Like, is that preparing them for the season in the best way? And we've had players over the years, myself included, who in late August are training for some version of a bike test or a treadmill test or whatever goddamn test they came up with, instead of preparing themselves for an 82-game NHL regular season. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. If it all applied, you know, that you could come up with a skating test maybe that worked, but there was just a refusal to do so. Everyone wanting to do their own thing. And when you ran into clubs using it as a punishment device, you know, that's where it became an issue, which it was for quite a few years. And so as part of the new schedule format with a 13-day camp, which, as I told you earlier, is really 11, once you day off and the day to report, there's no time to waste for anybody to get ready anyway. Now, these guys are on the ice year round now, and a large percentage of them, you know, we got veteran players who are 36 years old who, you know, whenever they get eliminated from the playoffs, they take a week and a half, 2 weeks off, and they want to be able to skate and work their way towards next season. That's foreign to me. I used to take months off. That's just not how it is anymore. These guys are, for the most part, on the ice year round. And when they show up, and I've talked to general managers over the last 3 years, they're ready to go. You know, I mean, that's been going on for years, right? Where they, in some instances, they practice Thursday, they practice Friday, and they're dropping the puck on Saturday with exhibition games across the league, and the guys ready to go. So with the consolidation of camp, less days, there's no time to waste on, you know, whatever the club could come up with to make life more difficult. The players will be able to prepare for their season. They'll be prepared to be on the ice competing immediately. You know, most clubs will probably go right into a scrimmage now. You know, they'll practice for a little while as they do, go right into scrimmages right away. And then you'll be getting into your 4 exhibition games, of which the veteran players will play 2, and away they go. So,
what was the reaction from the membership when you told them about that?
pleased. There's certain guys, it's not, nothing's 100%. I'd say, you know, I wouldn't know where to put the percentage, but overall the players will be pleased that they can prepare however they want to prepare for what'll be an 84 game season, a 13-day camp, and get themselves right, you know, right out there and ready to roll. This and the dress code, I truly believe, while fun to talk about for a little while, will be, they won't even be remembered 24 months from now as everybody rolls into camp and gets the seasons going. It'll just be a thing of the past. Everybody go, you guys did what? You ran on a treadmill until you fell off with a heart attack so you could practice the next day to play hockey? Why would anybody do that? I mean, we don't know. No, but that's how it was. I truly believe we're just...
So there's going to be an Olympic break every second or every fourth year. There's going to be a World Cup break every fourth year. 84 game schedule. It's got to be compacted. How are you going to manage that? What's the PA's role in managing the schedule and the time for players? Because you talked about it briefly there about the mental part of this game for players.
Yeah, so I mean, part of it's the preseason being shortened. We'll see how it goes. I know it's been out there a bit. We'll start the regular season a bit earlier, possibly the last week of September, which will give us a little more space in the schedule. It's certainly a concern. I mean, John, I post Four Nations, I don't think we all necessarily. I thought Saturday night in Montreal, we put U.S. Canada on the ice and dropped the puck. I thought we're going to have a great product. You know, I truly believe that. I don't know if I knew where we'd get to with the games on Monday and then a final on Thursday. And then I flew home Friday. I don't remember much about it. And I went to my gym here on Saturday and they were showing the players walking in or getting on the ice. There was I believe it was Detroit, Minnesota, played at 12:30 in an ABC window on Saturday. And at that moment, you know, I really felt I had messed up in, you know, maybe at least getting everybody a 7 o'clock game. Now there's certain realities to the TV partners wanting a game at 12:30, you know, and how it goes. But, you know, Dylan Larkin and Boldy, and, you know, I thought that was too fast, right? Coming off of what they had gone through and the way that tournament turned into, you know, I believe the finals was the equivalent of a World Cup final or equivalent of an Olympic final. We had so many guys who had been dying to be put on that stage. You know, so I was able to go out to the outdoor game the following week, see Lark, see Werenski, see some of the guys who had played. And physically, they're fine. You know, as I said, mentally, they were still exhausted. You just see it in their face, even if they wouldn't say it. You know, it was just such an intense tournament that it was hard for them, certainly, you know, for Dylan to play that Saturday, but he's captain of the team. He's going to be there. He's not missing a game. And so that'll be a continuing conversation, right? This will be the first time here coming up in February that a large number of our guys, most of them, will be going to an Olympics and do the travel over to Europe, do it back, right? And then have NHL games. We'll get through that. 27, we'll have something else that won't look anything like this with the return of All-Star and what that looks like. We'll see. And then we'll be back in 28. And, you know, that'll have a different look with half of the tournament in Europe, half here. And at that point, we got to see how everybody is, to be fair, you know, to be honest. And the plan is, and this is what the guys have asked for, which is, you know, an international calendar that they can look at and see. But to your original question, Four Nations in February, Olympics in 26, World Cup in 28. You know, we will have to talk to the guys and make sure they're still in a good spot and with the schedule, and we'll continue to work at that. You know, going to October, there will be more games in October. As over the years, you guys have seen certain markets will try to play 6, 7, 8. There actually is a minimum in this new agreement based on the second Tuesday of October start with September. We'll be able to plug more games in, so that just relieves the pressure that we all see in March and April, right, where you just see games on that schedule when you look at it, and there's really no place for the guys to take a breath coming down the stretch. So it's going to be a continued focus between us and the league, and recognizing that, you know, while I think everybody's fine physically, there is a limit, and we need to protect our guys as well.
What's your role at the Olympics, Ron?
When we get there?
Yeah.
John, I can't answer. I have no. We'll see. Right. I've never been to an Olympics in person. The last one we went to was 2014. My belief is the bulk of our work will be done far in advance of that. I mean, me and Marty will be there. The PA does an amazing job hosting the families and the friends and everyone who comes over and creating an environment for them and the kids over the 2 weeks. And so we'll be part of that. We have a great staff who's already done a ton of work and been over there, been over to Milan multiple times. Marty and myself will head over for the entire 2 weeks. The guys go over, I think, on Saturday after what they do for media and stuff in New York on the charters. But I assume I'll be watching a lot of hockey. I assume that'll certainly be a part of it. But for never having been to one as a player or doing this, I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly. But we'll be there for the guys. We have great staff, former players. Joe Riecke will be in charge of making sure the arena and the locker rooms and the ice and all that is up to standard and whatever the guys need while we're there. But at the same time, John, they'll have their federations, right? They'll be, you know, whether it's USA Hockey or Hockey Canada, Finnish national team, so on and so forth. They do a great job of taking care of the guys as well. And so we'll see when we get over there. I'm excited just to see the competition again, right? Four Nations did what it was supposed to do, which was to spark everyone's interest back in international with this group of guys for the most part, right? And you do have the mix where Sid is still there to be able to play with Nate and Connor, and that's just one example. I think we're all excited to see that.
Did you have an opinion on in-season or a September tournament for Four Nations or the World Cup before that?
Yes.
And it didn't change?
It has not changed. My opinion has always been February. Now, it comes with its challenges. I recognize that our players are in mid-season form. You know, they're not being asked to get up to speed a month and a half earlier. I think we saw that window has the opportunity for hockey to take center stage, right? Even if you're working around the Super Bowl or not, which we did it after this time, you know, there's a 2 week wait for the Super Bowl. Everybody's waiting around, you know, the college basketball hasn't hit March Madness yet. The NBA heads into their All-Star game. There's a window there, if done properly, that we can really take center stage. There is a disruption to the NHL season, which the league is more than clear about, which the difficulties there. What we need to do is create an environment and a stage for our guys that it's worth it. And I think we were able to do that in February with Four Nations, being in Montreal, being in Boston. I mean, the players have been begging us to set the stage for them to go out and be the biggest stars in the world. We were able to do that in February. And so I think that's the place to be, and we'll work around what is there. September, for all the obvious reasons, not the least of which is the guys are still ramping up. You know, they can try to ramp up in August, and they will. They're just in a totally different place. Everything's just not as automatic. And with, you know, potentially having the Ryder Cup around or whatever golf tournament, the NFL season just rolling out, it's just a difficult time when February it really can work. And when you're in cities that are just hockey crazy, you know, it just takes the whole event to the next level. And so we'll continue to focus on that.
I'm curious, what consumes you these days? I mean, as you said, you signed the MOU, so you got the hard part of the CBA done. I assume the fall tour is going to start soon. So is that the biggest thing on your agenda?
Yeah, so the 28 World Cup, we're well going through that process. We were in Toronto. It was out there, you know, hosting 16 host cities there. I think we had another 9 or 10 in Europe. So we have an international
16 cities have put a bid in for games?
16 have made it to this stage in North America. Yeah, so we were just in Toronto welcoming all of them. We did that at our office with the NHL, which was great. We'll see where we get to the next stage of the bid process. Here will be at the end of the month, end of October. We did another, I think it was 25 total. So I believe it was 9 in Europe. I didn't go, but Rob Zepp headed over to Zurich with the NHL and did that there. And so, as you mentioned, you know, we have that process going on. Marty and myself will hit the road here in about a week, October 7th, 8th or so, right after we get started, and we'll be on the road meeting with all 32 teams from October 10th until December 20th. And we'll do our best to get all 32 in. That's a, a full 2.5 months, you know, with travel and getting around and seeing everyone. But it's our most important time of the year.
And so, I mean, for people who hear about the fall tour and all the PA guys are in town, what are the discussions about and what are they like?
Well, so, I mean, last year, like we'll go over everything that we deem important to their lives. I strive to do that in an hour every single time for a number of reasons. You know, sometimes it goes an hour and a half, depending on where the team is, right? I mean, when Arizona was going through the process of possibly going to Utah, that was a 2-hour meeting all day, right? That's just how it was. So you never know, depending on each club and what they're going through at the time, how long it'll be. Last year, as I said, was heavy in the CBA prep, you know, of that hour, certainly 30 to 40 minutes was that and that discussion. And it could take as long as it takes, right? If a guy feels strongly about doing one thing or not doing something else. And so that'll be a bulk of this report. You know, I think a lot of guys have seen what's been out there, but they read the headlines. There's certainly a bunch of players based on what the headlines have been over 4 months who think they got a new dress code in exchange for 6- and 7-year contracts. You know, they haven't dug into the thing. That's just really based on, you know, if it was possibly, you know, we have plenty of guys who just get their news from what they see out there and they'll see us in the fall. And so we got to go through that with the entirety of the membership. And we'll go over, you know, smaller things along the way, whether it's, you know, the international schedule and where that's headed for the year. Obviously, the players' pension and medical is a constant update of where all of that is at. Marty will walk through, you know, the entirety of what he's been working on in the office, what we've been working on in the office over the course of the year. You know, we do have a 70 employee office in Toronto. And where everything has gone from the business end, obviously the financials will give the players a full update on where the financials are with the league, what the projections are for the year, escrow projection. We also have, you know, escrow coming back based on a number of factors for 23-24, 24-25. When are they going to get that money? How's it broken up? You know, that the players are always, that, as you can imagine, I usually lead with that in the first 15 minutes because you're never going to lose anybody's attention. And we're finally in an environment where that money is coming back to the players and some extra money, which is great news to roll out. So I usually, not to give it, you know, I usually roll that out first, especially when it's good news. And that makes the meeting quite a bit easier. And we'll go over topics that we feel we need to discuss. Sports betting is one that every year I feel we need to continue to go over, right? We had two pitchers this year in baseball who missed the rest of the season based on some things that took place. And we actually have a new rule in the CBA about betting on hockey. Players will no longer be able to bet on hockey anywhere starting next year when this rolls out. And so we need to address that with them. And so it could be any, you know, thing like that, contracting disputes we'll go over. And as you can tell, it's not hard to fill an hour, but I feel it's important that that's the most to take in that meeting. And look, we'll circle back with the group in the second half, right? So as your original question, Marty and myself, it's extremely important to see the players as often as we possibly can. That's a challenge with 32 teams and the schedule and travel and the way it is. But, you know, we'll take a brief breath in January. We'll head back to Toronto to the office to circle back with everyone there. And then we'll focus on, you know, seeing more guys possibly in smaller groups over the second half of the season to give them an update on where things are.
Ron, how'd the sports betting change? And what was the tweak on that?
Players will no longer be able to bet on hockey anywhere worldwide. Okay. Previously it was betting on games. Now I would probably recommend that before this rule change went in. But you know, previously it was against betting on games in the National Hockey League. And now that rule will read betting on hockey anywhere in the world at any time. And so,
okay, I didn't realize that. What will you say to Kirill Kaprizov when you see him?
Congratulations. There's not much else to say. I don't think we're going to have too long of a conversation about it. You know, I think congratulations, and you know, I'm certain he's thrilled, and it appears you know wanted to stay in Minnesota, and you know, went through his process and, you know,
were you guys involved in that or kept up to date with those negotiations?
No, I mean, look, I think we talk to the agents all the time. I'm into that stuff, right? I'm into contract negotiations. So I'll follow it, you know, and so depending on you know, how the negotiation is going. But the short answer is no, you know, with the, that's for the player and the agent to go through. We obviously have a great staff led by Roland Lee at the NHLPA who assists the agents through every negotiation, and the secret's out that he's there. You know, I'd have to ask him if he was talking to Theo on and off, you know, or not. For the most part, no, you know, I see it occasionally out there, or someone will bring it to me out there. Oh, the PA must be upset about this deal. Those days are gone. You know, the players, what's negotiated is the players get 50% of X.
Right.
And let's just say it's $7 billion this year, just for the sake of making it easy math for myself. The players are going to get $3.5 billion this year, no matter how they split it up. You know, and if a player wants to take less, so another player on his team can get more, or they can go get another defenseman, or that's his business. And if he's happy, great. And you know, we'll be pleased for them. And if a player wants to, you know, takes more, it, at the end of the day, you know, Marty and myself, we just don't spend any time losing sleep over it. It just doesn't matter anymore. They'll get their slice of the pie, and how they split it up is up to them and their agents. You know, the days of pushing it. I'm happy that Kirill, you know, set a new bar. That's great. If he wanted to set it a little lower, that's great too. You know, I mean, it really, I'm interested certainly in how the marketplace works itself out over the next year or two. We knew with these cap increases that I think we announced, I can't exactly remember January, you know, we worked on it certainly December, January, would change things and how the market would react. It's going to take a minute, right? And now we're seeing some different, you know, we saw a couple of players who could have pushed it, sign in places before July 1st and be happy with where they went, didn't get to the open market within the system and see what was out there. Now we've seen it go a little bit the other way here in the fall with some deals that have pushed the pace a little bit, for lack of a better way to put it. And so I think it's still going to take time with these cap increases coming, right? You're going from 95.5 to 104, you know, 113.5, if that's where we end up, you know, it's not that far away, right? It's less than two calendar years away. And how does that work through the system? The minimum is increasing a bit over the course of the agreement. So it's still to be determined how this money in the system and how the clubs react. You know, some of that's dependent on how their season goes, right? That's why it's very hard to predict where the compensation will be. A team who thinks they're going to have a great season, runs into injuries, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out, you know, with the cap space coming and maybe they have a big contract expire. Do they offload a bunch of money to a team that's going the other way and then reload and overpay? You know, who knows? Anyway, is the point. And so it'll be interesting over the next couple of seasons as we continue to have this cap growth, exactly how the market works out, right? And to some extent, you try to nail it and try to play it out to some extent. It's a big guessing game, right? You just don't know where everybody's going to end up. It's dependent on so many factors.
You know, being old, I know more retired players than I do active players now. And
okay, I'm getting there.
Yeah, but I got to tell you that our pal Glenn Healy has been pushing the assistance program, and the alumni have been pushing the assistance program. And you guys and the league should be congratulated for putting something in place for the players who have given so much to the game. That must have been satisfying for you.
Yeah, it's another step, right, in what we're trying to do for the alumni. And that's alumni who are older and have been out for 25 years. And that's alumni who've only been out for 5, right? I mean, it never stops. And the idea is, you know, 15, 20 years from now, right, you have the alumni is in a totally different place than the alumni from 20 years previous, right? And me and Glenn talk about that all the time. The idea would be that Glenn has, you know, 10% of the job and the issues that he has now, eventually, as long as he continues to do it because of multiple factors. The current players deserve the credit here. They stepped up, you know, again, with money for the alumni to start this wellness program for the alumni. I know Glenn's excited. It was a focus of Glenn's from when, you know, Marty first took over. We had lunch with Glenn in Toronto immediately and started a discussion of what more we could do. It's not the end of what we're going to do, but it's just another thing that we continue to focus on with the alumni, right? There's stuff that's been done more recently, going back to 2012, the pension, the part of this new CBA, the healthcare stipend, where now every player who's eligible will get a $10,000 stipend towards their healthcare for the rest of their lives. We're at a point where the NHLPA health plan, you know, $10,000 doesn't cover it, but we're getting closer to where that stipend will cover a player's health insurance. Maybe it's at the bottom tier. We have four tiers, but they'll have health insurance. It'll be mostly covered. Again, it's going to be $10,000 now when this agreement starts. We're getting to a place where the players who leave the game will be able to have health insurance of some level covered for themselves. And it takes a huge weight off their shoulders, right? And so we got more to do, and we'll continue to focus on how we can create an environment where our alumni leave the game. They're in a different place than they were 25 years ago, where, you know, it's not, maybe it just wasn't as thought out or planned or for whatever reason, right? You and I know guys are just in a different boat, mm-hmm. and hopefully we can get them too.
So what kind of headspace are you in right now with the CBA now done and moving forward? And it seems pretty serendipitous.
Holy smokes, that's a big word.
Yeah. Look, my focus is now on seeing all 32 teams. We've had, like I said, some things over our schedule is pretty, it's a little similar to the players, and where, you know, we really roll hard through June, and we have our board meeting at the end of June, the draft comes and free agency comes, you know, all within, it's less than a week. It's kind of crazy, you know, how much happens there. And July is a time for Marty and myself to get back to Toronto, get back to the office and spend some time. It's arbitration season. There's a lot going on. And then August, where it kind of goes quiet for everyone, right? It gets a little quiet in August. The mm-hmm. players are ramping up for training camp. They're finishing up whatever stuff they do in the off season. And then September, we start to roll again, right? We've got rookie orientation program in DC, the media tour in Vegas. We'll get to the office again in Toronto. And that's important because no player or team wants to do a meeting in Toronto. We have so many guys with friends, family from the GTA area that you can't schedule a meeting there if your life depends on it. So it's impossible for us to get there for a couple months. And then look, the next 2.5 months, the focus will be on meeting with the players, going over the new CBA, some of the other topics I discussed, mm-hmm. Traveling all the while preparing for a 28 World Cup, which, you know, luckily we have a great team that'll continue to do that. And whatever else comes up over those months back in the office, we had a great team there as far as our leaders of the legal department, leaders of finance, leaders of business. You know, we've got a new head of business, Steve Skeblo, who's at the NFLPA for a long time. That'll be a big focus for us, especially as we head to the Olympics and create more opportunities for our guys. And so it was, my mind was clear for a minute, I guess, to go back and answer your question. And come, you know, that August time period, my kids got back to school August 10th. So there's a minute to kind of, but now as we get ready to see the guys and everything that will really lead us to the Olympics, you know, we'll have an agent meeting in there, I believe in January, although we haven't put that out yet. So I probably shouldn't have said that, but as the new contracting rules, it's just the only place we can fit it, to be quite honest. Yeah. It's important to get it in there after the Winter Classic, just with the new contracting rules. Some of them do start in March, right? Some of the new entry level deals and some of some of the rules for Europeans. And so as those contracts, it's important for us to get in front of them and make sure we answer all of their questions, because some of those rules do kick in the spring, depending on, you know, where the agent may have his clients and things. And by the time we get through that, it'll be on our way to the Olympics and we'll go from there.
Do you find players now more involved in PA issues than when you were involved in these things, or is it about the same?
It's very dependent on where you are in what's going on. So when I became a rep, John, was when Paul Kelly was fired, around 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. When I was in Atlanta. And we, at that point, for multiple months, there was an advisory board back then, and we don't need to get into it, but there was hundreds of players on calls biweekly trying to sort through the next, you know, what the PA would look like over the next number of years. And it wasn't until Don Fair started joining some of those calls that we actually had a focus and a purpose and an agenda to the call. And so through that time period, and that goes right through bargaining in 2012, where we have a lockout. I think player participation is extremely high, and you end up with an 8-year CBA with a 2-year option. And, you know, for a lot of guys, okay, that problem's solved for a while, you know, and other guys are very into it. Escrow was extremely high for that time period. So that always was something that brought guys back, as you can imagine. 2020, huge player participation, because everybody was sitting around in a house and they had nothing else to do. You know, if we could fill your day with an hour of NHLPA and CBA talk, you could get 150, 200 guys on a Zoom call like that. What else was anybody, you know, that was just how it was. I mean, Marty and myself, since Marty took over, have made it a point to continue to be in front of the guys wherever we can. So we had great participation here with this CBA. I think the negotiating committee had 40 official members, you know, and then a bunch of unofficial members who were, for whatever reason, don't want their name on it. Obviously the 32 reps and the 32 alternates, obviously there's crossover in there. But you know, when I went through it, you got to go through it with the board and the negotiating committee. You know, we had 60, 70, 80 guys dependent on, and multiple calls. And so, you know, I've been extremely pleased. It goes, everyone's different and where they are in their career is different, right? We talk about players with our in-house program on Limit, which focuses on players furthering themselves off the ice. It could be starting a business. It could be taking classes at a business school, whatever it is. And I could roll that speech out to the same guy at 20, 21, 22, 24. And all of a sudden at 28 or 29, he comes to me and goes, "Hey, you didn't talk about Unlimited today. I've always been thinking about, you know, I'm ready now." Right. And that's, you know, I mean, you can't stop. Right. And everybody, I would have been the same exact way. You know, I just left college when I was 20 and had no interest of ever going back. And there's a whole host of reasons for that. Whereas when I got to 31 and had been through a CBA, you know, I'm sitting in my room reading the history of collective bargaining, right? I mean, nobody, there's just no way that was going to happen when I was 21 years old,
right?
But everyone grows and changes in different ways. And so, you know, we'll continue, you know, with the guys to be there year in and year out, because even their pension, right? I mean, you get a guy who's 22, played 15 games in the NHL. He's like, "Yeah, okay, whatever. What are you talking about?" And 8 years later, you know, well, when I turn 62, this what, how does it work? So, you know, that'll always be the case with a membership as young as ours, especially it gets younger every year.
What have you learned about yourself in this job?
Well, mostly I'd say not to get too worked up at any point. You know, I kind of have rolled out, you know, the next couple month plan. And I've done that, you know, this will be our third, Marty and myself's fall tour, as we've done them together. And what always happens, here's kind of part of the list, or most of the list, is we've been firming it up. And there'll be, by the time we get to December, we'll have a hard time because, you know, a number of things will have happened, you know, whether it's a contract termination or, you know, something else within the sports betting world. You never know what's going to come up next. It really is a 24/7 job, depending on, you know, what's happening out there. We are fortunate that we have the CBA behind us. So it's very time consuming when you're trying to run everything else. And so we'll focus on some of the areas I've mentioned over the next couple months. But I don't know, John, I haven't sat around again. I had that little breath in August. I tried to hit a couple golf balls and get myself back in shape a little bit. I haven't sat and taken the time, but I'm sure at some point I will.
Was the history of the collective bargaining
gripping stuff?
Was it hardcover or soft cover?
I don't think that's an actual, that's not an actual title to a book, but you know, I've gone back and read, you know, about Marvin Miller and, you know, his time at baseball and the changes from there, and obviously talked to, you know, gone over our history extensively. But maybe, I don't think there's a book out there with that title quite yet, but maybe I got D. Smith's book here now. You know, I've seen the headlines. I haven't quite dug into it yet. I've seen some of the headlines, which make it, you know, possibly there's more of a personal edge to this one than a history of the CBA negotiations, but I haven't dug too far into it yet, but I'll get to it here as I get back on the road. in the next week or two. We'll see.
Crack it open now. We've taken enough of your time. Appreciate it, Ron. Really great catching up.
Absolutely, Darren. John, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jeans and a t-shirt. I love that style.
I don't think that's the verbiage that the lawyer wrote in there. I don't think jeans and a t-shirt are the way it goes. You know, a lot of teams have, you know, in their preseason discussions with the teams that said we'd still would prefer you to wear suits. They can't force them to, but a lot of teams have still said please have a level of decorum. But I think this is going to be one set by the veterans, right?
Leadership groups are taking this over.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be willy-nilly. You can do anything. They may let you do something on one team, but the leadership group will have a different set of rules on another team.
Correct.
Or you parameters. Know,
I saw Jonathan Toews walk in to a preseason game in Winnipeg and was dressed casually and looked pretty darn good. And next thing you know, every other guy was dressed casually. So if Jonathan Toews can do it, then it's okay. Right?
Ron Hainsey.
What's your Hainsey story? Come on now.
Played for the Hamilton Bulldogs way back when. And and my buddy was on that team, Jared Stoll. Shout out to Stoli. And so Jen and I went down. They were in the Calder Cup final that year. So we went down and watched. And there was a lady behind us.
Wasn't Carey Price the goalie for them that year?
Do not believe he was that year. That was after. But so there's this woman behind us, couple of rows back, and she would scream, "Hainsey, come on, Hainsey," like all night. That's all she did, was scream Hainsey. And I've never been able to get that out of my head. Whenever I hear Ron's name or run into Ron, all I hear is this lady behind me, "Hainsey." So I said, we're talking to him today, and Jen said, "Is that our Hainsey?" from one game in Hamilton at Cops Coliseum.
Well, I'm as you know, I'm not a nickname guy, but when your name is Hainsey, what's your nickname?
Haynes. Come on, Haynes. You go the other way.
You guys, this is why they should be. I tell you what, that should have been in the CBA. Outlawing nicknames. Nicknames should not be allowed. Oh, my God.
People wouldn't know what to call each other. Hey, contract talks. A big week for Alberta coaches.
Yeah. Chris Knobloch gets a 3-year extension and Ryan Huska gets a 2-year extension. That's pretty good. I'm particularly happy for Ryan because I'm not confident the Flames are going to have a good year, but to give Ryan 2 more years to right the ship there, I think is an outstanding move.
It's a little job security going into what could be a really challenging situation. I don't know which way they're going to go, but last year was impressive. To pull that off again would really be a magic act. Well, because there's there could be a sell-off. There could be all kinds of things that could happen.
Well, and let's face it, in Calgary, the focus And I don't want a phone call from the hockey club, but the focus really is long-term success. Be ready for the arrival of the team in the new arena, you know, and that's 3 to 4 years away. Be ready for that. This is
still that long.
Three, I think. Yeah, three.
Huh. So it's quicker than that.
Well, you can't work all winter long in Calgary.
They built Maple Leaf Gardens in 2.5 weeks.
No, they did not. Wasn't 2.5 weeks. What are you talking? People are going to believe you. People are going to say, and Millard said they built Maple Leaf Gardens in 2.5 weeks. Yeah.
They forgot a screw. They had to take it all apart and put it back together, and or otherwise would have been done in 9 days.
Oh, my God. You've had a long week, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm ready for the preseason to be done. Not gonna.
Me too. I was ready for the preseason to be done before it started.
So Knobloch gets 3 years. That's
Chris gets a 3-year extension, which is good. I'm happy.
It's his first real contract, not real contract, but like when he came up, he was put into the fire, and then
that was 2.5 years ago now too. You know,
got a deal out of that, and then now it's like, oh, yeah, we're rolling now.
Yeah, and it will be a different. You know, he inherited a coaching staff. In so many ways, he's been able to change the coaching staff in Edmonton this time around, with Glenn Gulletson leaving, Paul Coffey leaving, a new goalie coach there, Paul McFarlane joining the squad. So this will be, not that it didn't feel like a Chris Knobloch team in the last couple of years. This, to me, this will be much more like the team and the group that Chris Knobloch has wanted to put in place. For the Oilers to go to the Stanley Cup final for the third consecutive year.
Hear what he said when he greeted the team after the contract announcement?
Tell me.
Connor, your turn.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, please.
Come please. On. 3 years. It was a package deal. Let's sign this thing.
That would be a good fun idea. Today.
That was good. Good.
Tell you what, if you're a hockey nerd, a business nerd, as many of us have had to live through strikes and lockouts, that was a fascinating conversation to me today. Fascinating.
Yeah, fewer stories. We had to listen a little closer, but really strong. My notepad's full. Thanks.
You'll have some good stories for your TV broadcast.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Back with Alec Martinez, the 3-time Stanley Cup champion, joining the
bidding. He's going to be a star. Nights. He's going to be a star on TV. My prediction.
Well, right with now. Your coaching.
Yeah, right.
See, and my mentorship, how can he go wrong?
0-2.
He's got to overcome a lot. We'll talk to you next time on 100% Hockey with Millard and Janet.